Okay, last time we studied Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we started from verse 1 to verse 38. Today we are going to study Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 39 and 40. But we don't know we are going to finish this, so what we're going to do, we are going to read the verse 39 first. And it says, "And this all having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise." That means all these Old Testament sins, we studied from the Abel to the all the prophets. We learned they were tortured, they were stoned, they were put in a fiery furnace, they were put in the lion's den, and all kinds of suffering they had. But still he says, they did not receive the promise. Book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2, he says, the elders obtained good report. And Book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them far off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. That means all these Old Testament saints, they were looking for the heavenly promises, the heavenly city. Abraham says, I am looking for the heavenly city whose maker and builder is God. So from that we know, all these people suffer a lot, but they were thinking that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. And the word of God says in Book of Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, he said, they shall not enter into my rest. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 11 and Hebrews chapter 4 verse 8 and 9. Now here we see, he says, if Jesus had given them rest, actually Joshua, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest for the people of God. So that means all these Old Testament people who came from Egypt. And as you know, when they came from Egypt, they start idol worshipping, and many of them died. That day, almost 3,000 people died who did the idol worship. And so the many people were destroyed, and they were not able to see the rest of God. The word of God says God rested the seventh day. But when God rested the seventh day, that means when he finished that work, what he was doing, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, finished the creation work. And the word of God says God rested. But at the same time, when you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, he says, for he, that he is Jesus, that is enter into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So he says, God rested the seventh day, but when Jesus Christ came from heaven, to do the salvation work. And he died on the cross of Calvary for the mankind, took our sickness, disease, sin on the cross, and with his stripes we are healed. We are trusting in Jesus Christ for our salvation. And Jesus Christ finished that work on the cross, and he said, "It is finished." So the salvation work is already finished. And now Jesus Christ today, he is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of Father. And so he is saying, as his Father finished the work, same way the Son also finished his work. And now they are all resting. That doesn't mean they don't have any other things to do. They finish their project. But the Word of God is saying for this Israeli people, these people did not obey the Word of God. And that's why they were not able to enter into the promised land or the resting place. God gave them chance in the beginning. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." And then he says, "All the earth is mine." What the Word of God is saying here, or what the God is saying here, God is saying, if you obey my voice, if you keep my commandment, you will be my peculiar treasure, or pressure, or special treasure, and you will be above all people on the earth. And then he says, you will be kingdom of priests, holy nations, and you will be special people of God. And God says to Moses, teach these people what I'm telling you right now. And if you know, Moses taught all these people in Exodus chapter 19 and 20 and gave all the commandments to them. And they said, "Oh, we will obey, we will obey." But they did not obey the commandments. So the Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, "But we are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That we are reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And then in verse 10 it says, "Which time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." He is talking about the people who believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Word of God says, "We were yet sinners, then Jesus Christ died for the mankind." We did not do anything to get saved. We simply believed. The Word of God says all these Old Testament people did not believe what God said to them. Even the time of Eden, Adam and Eve, God told them, "If you eat this forbidden fruit, you will surely die." But the devil tells them, "You will not surely die." Now they believe the devil and they disobey God, and the sin enter into this world. So eating the forbidden fruit is the sin, but before that, if you don't believe what God says, that is the greatest sin, because unbelief is the sin. If you read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, he says, we have great witness, cloud of witness all around us. And they did a great things. He says, if you want to run your race, then you have to give up all your sinful activities, because the enemy can deceive you and you will fall into sin. Now, easily deceives you. That means that is unbelief. Unbelief comes and destroys everything. So when these people did not believe in God, they were not blessed, and they lost their blessings. Here the word of God is saying to the New Testament people, the church of God, or the children of God, you are chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, who you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now Jesus Christ came into this world and he says, I am the light of the world. And he says, as long as I am in this world, he is going to shine as the light of the world. But when he said to his disciples, you are also the light of the world, we read that in Matthew. So here the word of God is saying, we are the children of the light, and we should show forth his light. And where we showing forth his light? In the darkness. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15, he says, we are living in a crooked and a sinful generation. There we should be shining our light and bringing those people to the marvelous light. So now we see the word of God says we were not his people, but now we became his people. We didn't have the mercy, but now we obtained the mercy. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9, when you read, he says we got salvation by grace. We didn't do anything. If anyone does anything, they will boast. But we cannot boast for anything, because salvation is free and is given by Jesus Christ, shedding his precious blood, forgiving all our sins. We just simply have to say yes, what Jesus Christ has done, or receive it by faith. And that's what happened to us. God gave us more grace than the Old Testament people. God says, I'm going to give you a chance. But if you hear my voice and obey my commandment, they did not hear his voice and did not obey the commandment. So now we see why they did not receive the promise. But I'm going to point out some more things, because people might be thinking, why these Old Testament people or Jewish people lost their blessings and why we got more blessings. Some people are thinking that some people are preaching that Jewish people lost everything and we got everything, and Jewish people cannot get anything. That's not the Bible. Bible simply teaches that Jewish people will be going to heaven. They were looking for heavenly place, and they will be in heaven. But many people do not know everything about heaven. People are thinking, we are all going to go to the same place, the Old Testament people and New Testament people, because God is going to make us one. That is not the way the Bible teaches. He says God will make us one, means one with God. Now, all the people who believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are one with God. But the Israeli people, they were called the wife of the Father. The New Testament people are called the bride of Christ. So the Old Testament people have their own place, and the New Testament people, the bride, has their own place. Many people are confused. They are thinking, when we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, it says there was no temple in New Jerusalem. So they think the temple is disappeared. The temple did not disappear and will not disappear, because temple will be there for eternity. Because today Jesus Christ is our high priest. And so he is high priest in the old heaven where the Father's throne is. We will be the priest also on earth as well as in heaven. So the Old Testament people, they will be always with the Father, and the New Testament people, they will always with Son. But the Father and Son together, they work. Or the old heaven, there is a throne and Father sits on the throne and the Son sits beside him. When you go to the New Jerusalem, Son sits in throne and the Father sits beside him, or he sits beside the Father also in New Jerusalem. And the people will say, how come? How God can be same time in both places? Because our God is ever present, omnipresent. That means he can be everywhere at the same time. It did not happen in this world, but in heaven it will happen. You go to New Jerusalem, but the Father and Son you will see there. If you go to the old heaven, where the paradise is and where God is, there you'll see Father and Son. So now let me tell you a little bit about the Old Testament people's salvation. Now, as we know, they were in Egypt. And God did all 9 miracles. Still Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then God says, I'm going to do the 10th miracle. And that time, all Egyptians' firstborn will be killed. The God says to Israeli people and Moses, take the lamb, take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorpost, both sides and the top of the door, and close the door. When you do that, it becomes the sign of the cross. And he said, don't come out and eat the roasted lamb. And if you want to read that, you have to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and verse 7 to 13. We don't have time, but that's the way the Passover started. When the gods sent the death angel, he saw the blood on the doorpost of Israeli people, and he passed over, and he killed all the Egyptians firstborn. Then we see, after everything happened, God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. And book of Psalm chapter 105, Psalm 105, 37, he says, he brought them forth also with the silver and gold, and there was none fable person among their tribes. There were 12 tribes of Israeli people. Millions of people came out of Egypt, young and old. We don't know, some of the old might be 90 years old, 100 years old, and some of them might be very weak and dying. But as soon as they ate the lamb, God gave them the strength and they were coming out with the silver and gold, and not a single person was sick. Just think, they shed the blood of the lamb and ate the roasted lamb. But for us, Jesus Christ shed his own precious blood, and he says, my flesh is a real food and my blood is real drink. So once we take the communion, we should be completely healed by the power of God. Because the word of God says, with his stripes, we are healed. Many people do not believe the healing power of God. Once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not looking for another Savior. The same way, once you believe that with his stripes you are healed, then you are not going to look for another healer. So it comes by faith. Gradually you will learn and you will experience the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, who heals and who saves and who protects, and he supplies the need, just like he did for the Old Testament people. Then we see in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 6 to 8. And I'll read the verse 8. And the verse 8 says, Moses took the blood and they sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. That means Moses established the old covenant with the blood of bulls and goats. But the book of Jeremiah, if you read, book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. This says, all this old covenant is now decaying and is vanishing away. So God is going to make a new covenant with the children of Israel. And he is going to put God's law in their hearts. And he is going to forgive their sins. And he will remember their sin no more. You have to read that in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. What Jeremiah said, book of Hebrews is recording that. Book of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7 to 12, and book of Hebrews chapter 10, 16 to 18. There it says how God was going to do a covenant with them. And by the grace of God, God has already did the new covenant with us, according to book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 26 to 28. So the Jesus Christ established the new covenant with his own blood. So now, for the children of Israel, new covenant is not established yet. Their new covenant will be in the millennium. But thank God, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 7 to 12, and chapter 10, verse 16 to 18, our sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no record of our sins once we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So see, their salvation and our salvation is different. They got saved by the blood of the Lamb. We got saved with the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have better blessings and better promises. And a little bit I'll tell about a baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, if you read, he says, all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The Old Testament baptism, they said they were baptized in Moses, they were baptized in Noah, and they were baptized in John the Baptist. But our baptism is Jesus Christ commanded in Matthew chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. He says, you should be baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And Book of Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 6, it says, in case somebody took the baptism of John, those people should be rebaptized. So our baptism is much better than the Old Testament baptism. Now we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Now the Old Testament Holy Spirit and the New Testament Holy Spirit is not the same. In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit was not revealed. Only Father was revealed, the Son also was not revealed. And Father also, they were talking about Father Lord or Father God. But the St. John chapter 1 verse 18 says, nobody knew who the Father was. But the Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who was in the bosom of his Father, he has revealed us who Father is. So that means without Jesus, we cannot understand who Father is. So the Jesus Christ revealed his Father. And Father reveals Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came into this world, and when he took the water baptism, God revealed him as his Son. You can read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, each and every book, God says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, some people also making mistake here, because when they read the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 18, this is Jesus is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and to recovering of sight to the blind, to set the liberty them that are bruised. Now when somebody read this, they are preaching, many, many preachers they preaching, Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit, and he got the Holy Spirit anointing, and that's why he was able to do signs and wonders and miracles. But the Bible teaches Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He doesn't need the third person of Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are all equal. So the Son does not need the Holy Spirit. Then why here he says, Luke says he received the Holy Spirit. That's why the confusion is all about. But if you read the Matthew chapter 3 verse 16, he says, when he took the baptism, Spirit of God came upon him. Mark chapter 1 verse 10, it says, when he took the baptism, the Spirit came upon him. When you read the John chapter 1 verse 32 and 33, Spirit came upon Jesus Christ. And the John says, God told me, when you see the Spirit coming upon him, that's the one who is going to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. When the Luke says in the chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, he says, Jesus Christ was praying, and then God sent the Holy Spirit, and he filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Luke says Holy Spirit. Matthew doesn't say Holy Spirit. Matthew says the Spirit of God. John says Spirit. Only Luke says the Holy Spirit. So let me tell you, the Spirit of God is holy. The Spirit of Christ is holy. The Spirit of Spirit, Holy Spirit is holy. That means Spirit of God is holy. Spirit of Son is holy. And Holy Spirit is holy. So when Luke says, he received the Holy Spirit. Actually, he did not receive the Holy Spirit, because we just read Book of Luke chapter 4 verse 18. This is Jesus saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now you should believe in Jesus, what he's saying, who received the Spirit. Or you should say, because Luke said Holy Spirit, we should believe the Holy Spirit. I will explain to you a little bit further. But here he says, Jesus Christ says himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And when you study the Old Testament, all the Old Testament prophets, they had the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of Christ, is the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, he says, "Of which salvation the prophets have incurred, and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." He said the prophets were prophesying and searching diligently and prophesying about the grace should come upon you. That's what they were doing. And then the verse 11, it says, "Searching that all that manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them." And so the Spirit of Christ was in them, and that's why they were testifying and they were suffering for Christ, but they did not have the third person of Trinity. They had the Spirit of Christ, it says. Now somebody will say, Moses didn't say, "I have the Spirit of Christ." Abraham didn't say, "I have the Spirit of Christ." Nobody said, "I have the Spirit of Christ." How come Peter came to know? Because Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, the third person of Trinity. And when you receive the third person of Trinity, God gives you wisdom, knowledge, and all kinds of nine gifts, and you learn more from the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit will reveal the secret things. So the Peter came to know all these Old Testament people had the Spirit of the Lord. Let me prove it to you from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3 verse 10. Othniel, the word of God says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him." Judges 6:34, Gideon, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him." Judges 11, verse 39, Jephthah, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him." And Saul, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him." The David, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him." So, the Othniel, Gideon, Jephthah, Saul, David, and Jesus Christ, they all received the Spirit of the Lord. Now somebody will say, if Jesus Christ is already a Son of God, why has to have the Spirit of the Lord? The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of Messiah. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary. And so he was anointed by God. The Messiah means anointed one. So the Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Lord. And so he had the Spirit of the Lord. So he doesn't need the third person of Trinity, because the Holy Spirit was not yet given. If you read the John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, if you read there, they said the Holy Spirit was not yet given because the Jesus Christ was not even glorified yet. So the Holy Spirit was called Promised Holy Spirit. We just read in John chapter 1, verse 32 and 33, if you read, John says, "I didn't know who Jesus Christ was, but the God told him, the Spirit will come upon him." And then the you will see the Spirit like a dove. And that's the person who will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Then John the Baptist starts saying, I baptize people with the water, but someone is coming after me. He was before me. He will be baptizing people with the Holy Spirit and fire. So Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the third person of Trinity. As long as Jesus Christ was on this earth, there was no third person of Trinity given to anyone. And Jesus Christ doesn't need the third person of Trinity because he is God himself. He is Son of God himself. And the Son of God has the power not by measure but fully. And he is also the Son of God. If you remember, Jesus Christ is called the prophet. Many people do not know this. Jesus Christ is called the prophet, priest, and king. First time he came as a prophet. And then, once he finished his prophet's work, and when he died on the cross of Calvary, now he is in heaven, interceding for mankind as a high priest. And when he comes back as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in millennium, he will be king, and we will be kings, and he will be King of Kings. So now, we saw the Old Testament people had the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of the Lord. But look at us, of the New Testament people. St. John chapter 1, verse 12, says, as many as received him. Received him means received Jesus Christ. To them he gave the power or authority to be called the sons of God. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God the Father is our Father, and Jesus Christ is our brother. So now, Book of Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. How the Spirit of Christ comes? Once we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in us. And then Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, if you read, God says, since you believe in my Son, you are a children of God, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to take my Son's Spirit and I'm going to give it to you so you could call me Abba Father. And then what the Son does, John chapter 14, verse 23, he says, you love the Lord, you believe in God, you believe in me. What I'm going to do, I'll come and bring my Father and then we will make our home in you. That means, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a Father also. So the Bible says, if you have a Son, you have Father also. But if you don't have a Son, you cannot have even Father. Why? Because Son reveals the Father. If you don't know the Son, you would not know who Father is. So there are some people today, they do not believe that God has a Son. If they don't believe it, then they cannot have the Father also. So here we see, we saw so far, the Old Testament people salvation, Old Testament people baptism, and Old Testament people Holy Spirit. So comparing to that, our salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our baptism also in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And our Holy Spirit is third person of Trinity. And Jesus Christ says, I will go to my Father. He says in book of Acts and book of Luke. Book of Acts chapter 1 and book of Luke chapter 24. He says, I will go to my Father and I will send you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will come with a dynamic power. And then you will be my witnesses starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. That promise fulfilled in the day of Pentecost. And so the day of Pentecost, the church established. So the church is called the bride of Christ. So now, you can see the Old Testament people and New Testament people is a different, a blessing. Old Testament people have blessings. New Testament people have blessings. But they are not going to have the same blessing together. As I said earlier, old heaven, where the Father lives, that heaven has the temple. That temple is going to be there for eternity. We will be learning a little bit later. And New Jerusalem is not prepared yet. Jesus says in a book of St. John chapter 14, St. John chapter 14, he says, I'm going to go to my Father and I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, but I'm going to prepare a new mansion for you. So that means we are not going to go to the Father's house. Father's house, they are all the Old Testament people will be going. For the New Testament people, God is preparing, Jesus Christ is preparing a new place called New Jerusalem, and that also called the Bride of Christ. So far we learn the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39, we just read, all this, all having obtained a good report, through faith, receive not the promise. So, when you read this, people get discouraged. All the suffering they did, and they did not receive the promise. But the verse 40 says, God has prepared something better. He says, God having provided some better things for us, us means the New Testament people, that they without us should not be made perfect. That means they are missing something, and when we go to heaven and they meet us, their joy and their blessings will be perfected. We are going to learn that in the next week. But this week we learn all these Old Testament people suffer a lot, but they did not receive the promise. That doesn't mean everybody didn't receive the promise, because he says God has prepared the resting place for the God's people. So there are some good people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, Moses, and all those people will be in the heavenly places where the Father is, where the temple is. And they will be doing worship in front of the temple. We will be learning more later on. So let's pray. And thank God, we did not do anything. But the Word of God says, Book of Ephesians chapter 1, before the foundation of the world, we were in the heart of God, and we were in the mind of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you read verses 10 and 11, God has already ordained before the foundation of the world that we will be doing good things in Christ Jesus. They were not able to do good things or pleasing God, but we will be, and we are. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. Without Christ, we cannot do anything. But St. Paul says, with Christ or in Christ, I can do all things. So the other people could not do many things to please God, but some of them suffer fire, lion's den, stones, tortures, sowing, and destroying them. But they kept the faith, and they will be obtained the rest, because the Word of God says God has kept the rest for the people of God. So they will be resting, and some of them already resting right now. Book of Revelation chapter 14, if you read, it says, once we die, our labors are finished, and we enter into the rest, and there is no more labor. So thank God that Jesus Christ came into this world. We were sinners. Jesus Christ died for us. He forgave all our sins. But we have to receive him as our Lord and Savior. We have to ask the forgiveness for our sins. Then our sins will be forgiven, forgotten. There will be no record of our sins. And we will be born again, children of God. Then we will be taking the water baptism, we'll be filling the Holy Spirit, and we will be bride of Christ. And we will be sitting beside Jesus Christ with his right hand in Jerusalem. It's a great blessing. Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving us this grace. Without your grace, we were lost. But thank you for the due time. You came to this world and saved us. We are so grateful. But if there is someone do not know Jesus Christ, let them call upon Jesus. Let them come to Jesus Christ. Get saved, healed, delivered, and set free. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray, and we call it done. Amen and amen. God willing, we will finish Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 40, next week, God willing. Thank you, and God bless you. Bye-bye.